válido de lunes a jueves. You
find the safari park. You're killing me, Larry.
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
Come on, Larry. Larry.
This episode is entitled Southbound. Also the name of one of the Allman Brothers' best tracks. You've ridden along with me on a bunch of other road trips, usually coast to coast. This one's been from north to south. How south? Well, Mississippi. At this very moment, I'm in a dimly lit hotel room. My wife and kids are running around town, getting stuff for the cottage my daughter has leased. She starts graduate school in a few days. Moose is asleep on one of the beds. It's dark because right now he really can't handle bright light. He had a rough night. His first seizure came on him at about 2:30 a.m. The next at 6 a.m. or so, the third at 10:30. When this happens, we have a protocol. Whoever gets to him first wraps him in their arms to try to immobilize him. The seizures are incredibly violent, and if his head snaps are unrestricted, or near a wall or a hard floor, well, he's lost teeth before and then walked around like Igor for a week. So he has to be held close and tight. Next, somebody grabs an ice bag, which we always keep full, and a cooler. That gets placed at the back of his neck or his spine near his tail. Seizures race his engine, and he heats up so fast and so hot you have to keep his temperature down. These fits average 1 to 2 minutes, but they always feel longer. I usually check my watch at the start, so I'll know the duration. They must hurt him, because he often cries as they happen. And sometimes he'll cry for a half hour afterwards. Then you have to get him to drink, because they instantly dehydrate him. But he's so disoriented, he doesn't perceive his own thirst. Next, he becomes ravenously hungry. Even if he ate a full meal 10 minutes before, he'll cry and beg for food, so we give him some. After the 10:30 episode, he seemed to settle down. Around noon, my wife and kids headed to this cottage to get my daughter settled in. Moose was asleep on the carpet. I figured I could treat myself to a bathroom break, but I was wrong. I heard thumping, ran back into the bedroom, and there he was on the floor, flailing away. I scooped him up and held him close. He's only 14 or 15 pounds, but he's very athletic. It was almost impossible to hang on to him with one arm while fishing around in the cooler for the ice bag. On the other hand, he's just a little guy, and you don't want to squeeze him so hard you injure him. This seizure was a world record. It went on so long, he actually began to scream. I know that sounds weird, but his agony is so intense that the crying or whining a dog will do when in pain is insufficient. He actually screams like a person would. I held him to my chest as I crossed the room to grab my phone, and he drenched me in pee, then his bowels let go. Talk about a literal shit show. By now, the seizure was 7 or 8 minutes in duration, which can kill anyone or anything. I thought it might be the end for my best buddy. He was actually screaming through the convulsion and had a beard of foam at his mouth. I managed to call my wife so they could return to the hotel. They were about 10 minutes away. Eventually, he stopped convulsing, but was still screaming. I put him down on the carpet to see if he could walk, and he walked straight into the wall. He was blind. This has happened before, but his vision has always returned, thank God. When my family arrived, they gave him some food with a tranquilizer mixed in. He still wasn't drinking, so my daughter ran to the lobby, got some honey, put it on her finger, and held it at his water dish, and he lapped up both. The two of us were a filthy mess, So first we gave him a bath. Once he was out, I took a shower. The girls are now out finishing their errands. Moose is sleeping. And here we are, together again. Some trips are uneventful. This one has been a little rough. Route 95 on the eastern seaboard is without question the shittiest road in the country. The tolls are outrageous, and there are more scumbag fuckball asshole drivers in the tri-state area than anywhere in the country. Tailgaters galore, nobody signals, and cutting you off is the local sport. Often they're texting on their phones while doing this. These actions should be capital offenses. A vehicle is every bit as lethal as a gun. Yet our fucked up society gives repeat offenders wrist slaps and fines. Why is this? If some asshole went to a local mall, brought his Glock, and started doing trick shots like Buffalo Bill, some cop would drop him in a heartbeat. And that cop would be a hero. But fuckball drivers do things far more dangerous. And our joke of a justice system just goes. If I were emperor of this nation, I'd make driving a lot safer immediately. See some asshole texting or driving recklessly? Hey, turn on that dash cam. Record his behavior for the court. Then aim your weapon. Shoot, kill, collect a reward. Simple. In 48 hours, this country would have the safest drivers in the world, guaranteed. As we arced west and away from I-95, there was still some vehicular mayhem. We were in a two-car convoy. In Virginia, we arrived at a massive backup. My wife and younger daughter were a few minutes ahead of us and called to tell us what to expect. They said there were ambulances, cops, and EMTs on the grassy median working on some downed guy. I thought, why would he be in the middle of a median when it was maybe 30 yards wide? Well, by the time I arrived at the scene, they were pulling a sheet over that dude. I had to guess he was a pedestrian who was struck and bounced onto that median. Not a pleasant sight. No sooner had we passed him than we were alongside a funeral cortege led by a white hearse. Jeez. Then there was some heavy weather, the kind of rain that windshield wipers can't handle. So we just had to exit the highway and wait until the deluge let up. That happened several times. A while later, we were in Tennessee, either the 40 or the 75, I don't remember, when we witnessed a dance number by a tractor hauling a flatbed trailer. I was in the right lane. Traffic wasn't too heavy. Everyone was at about the speed limit of 65. Two vehicles ahead, this truck suddenly, without braking, made a 90-degree left turn. Holy shit. As he did, all the flatbed's wheels on the left side were off the pavement. He got to the median, and he made a hard right back across the highway. It was insane. Looked like some movie stunt. Now the right side wheels were in the air. Then, alley-oop, one more hard left, and the tractor goes into the ditch, and the median jackknifed at maybe 40 degrees. The flatbed had cut deep into the truck's cab. The tractor's rear wheels were off the ground and spinning. The driver was in the cab. He looked kind of okay. That rig covered both lanes, but left just a narrow piece of the right-hand shoulder open. I threaded my way through it, thanking God I wasn't closer to that rig when the asphalt ballet commenced. It was fucking scary. Why did it happen? Who knows? Some douchebag might have brake-checked the trucker. I didn't see a deer carcass, so that wasn't it. Maybe his front left tire blew. I didn't look long or close enough to notice. Maybe he missed his exit and got pissed. Who knows? Do you ever wonder how the hell you got wherever you are? Lately, I do that a lot. By where I am, I don't mean where I live, blissfully, not Los Angeles, not anymore. I mean, how can I possibly be installing one kid in grad school and the other in college. I feel like I was just inspecting nursery schools for them. At that time, I couldn't count how many parents cautioned me to enjoy them now. They grow up so fast. Man, they weren't kidding. Empty nester is a stupid term, a title I revile. But I guess that's what my wife and I are about to be in a few days. I've been called worse, but no epithet ever hurt like this one. Some have been curious about just where I've settled since I escaped L.A. Well, you can solve that mystery by visiting thatlarryshow.com. There, on the right side of the page, just below the Patreon and PayPal buttons, you will see a new post office box address that's just waiting for your cards, letters, checks, or gold bullion. On that same page, I'll post a picture of that jackknifed rig. My daughter snapped it as we squeezed by on the shoulder. You'll also find hundreds more episodes for your listening pleasure. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. I will see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, be careful. Send some health karma to Moose, and take no shit.